Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to another episode. I say another episode as if they are running concurrently. They're not, but it is. Break it down. It's your favourite Inside the Ropes gang. It's Kenny McIntosh and myself, Alex McCarthy, ready to talk to you about wrestling during WrestleMania season. That's right. It's 2024. We've got a lot to dive into. Kenny, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Is probably a message that we should say. When was the last one of these we did? Let me find out. The last time we did a Break It Down, this is going to be embarrassing, isn't it? It's going to be bad. It's going to be, what are we doing? Okay, Break It Down. The last one we did was...
That's how long the search is taking. That's a bad omen.
November 28th.
Oh, I was sure it'd be December. Christ.
I know. Well, to be fair... December's a quiet wrestling month, and then there's Christmas and New Year. So, but I mean, we were going to podcast when your sort of idol returned.
Yeah.
We haven't. I mean, I'm just stealing your thunder here and asking your question first. So everybody is very worried. Well, not everybody. A lot of people in the wrestling community are very worried that The Rock is going to be facing Roman Reigns.
And fuck them, Kenny.
Do you still stand in that arena? Do you still think... Fuck them.
Yeah. First of all, quality over quantity on these shows, I think is what we're going for. Second of all, fuck Cody and his story. Sorry.
just to clarify, you think that the 52-year-old large man Dwayne Johnson at this stage will be quality?
Well, I'm saying our show is quality over quantity. For this, my opinion is there is not a bigger match in wrestling in the industry, not just WWE, just in wrestling, than The Rock and Roman Reigns. Anybody who wants to tell me something contrary to that is welcome, because you'll have a hard fucking time. It is the biggest money match you've got. Dwayne Johnson is among maybe the most... He's in the top five famous people in the world, maybe, you could argue. If we're going by social media stats and stuff, he certainly is anyway. You can see by all the metrics why that is a big match. Now, stars align when you've got the bloodline story, Roman Reigns in the run of his career, everything running parallel to where we are right now, right? Anyone making an argument that, oh, well, Cody has to finish his story. Why? Why does he have to finish his story now? Like, why does it have to be this year or bust? If Cody does finish his story and, you know, it's the apex of his career, is that what he would do after any bigger than The Rock versus Roman Reigns? I'll save you the answer. It isn't. It wouldn't be. It's no. You know, people go, oh, well, full-timers, fuck that. Who cares? It's about, well, I mean, you do care to a degree. But for WrestleMania and the main event and a match of this magnitude, this is Rock Hogan-esque. This is the passing of the torch. This is the mainstream matchup. I cannot be talked into believing that there's anything bigger than The Rock and Roman Reigns. Is it going to be as good as Cody and Roman last year? Probably not.
Can I give you the counter of why I think it's a problematic match in spite of the stuff you've said? I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. It is box office, it's big and all that. I think the issue for me is, well, a couple of things. Number one, he can't win. And Roman Reigns, I mean, I'm sorry if people don't want to admit this, he is stale now. Like, Roman Reigns is stale. Like, the bloodline, it feels like, remember when S Club 7 had, like, lost half their bands and they went and toured around unis as S Club 3? That's what the bloodline feels like on SmackDown when Roman's not there. I feel like I've got Bradley, Joe, and Hannah.
I like Joe, but yeah, go on.
Tearing it up on SmackDown. And then once in a blue moon, we get the full gang. But, like, there's that element to it. And then it's like, if he obviously didn't lose to Cody last year. And the thing is, if Rock can't win, which I don't think he can, because I think him winning and then him forfeiting it would be weird and a bad ending to the long story. But I also have no interest in Roman Reigns still being the champ. I mean, we've heard all these stories, but he's not going to be on Backlash. He's not going to be on Germany. He's not going to be on all these pay-per-views. So we're going to be stuck with more bloodline crap that's left. That's my bigger issue with it. If there was a way if it felt like Roman and Rock coming back and him winning could be this big moment and people would be into it, great. But I just don't see that happening. So that's one element that really bugs me about it. And then the other one is Cody's been sort of treading water for like since the Brock Lesnar stuff in August. And what does he do? Like, what is, like, yeah, fair point, you know, he can finish his story later, but what does he do on WrestleMania? So they're my concerns about it.
Yeah, and I think when you look at where The Rock is, right, and where we've been for the last few years, like, we've been talking about this matchup ever since the Tribal Chief really got going, right? We were like, okay, we all thought it was going to be last year, which The Rock kind of let slip it was meant to be, and that would have been an easier pill to swallow, perhaps. But my argument is, which supersedes all, right? Try and put your, and I'll say this to everyone listening, try and put your WWE hat on. The idea is to put your most box office matchup that you've possibly got front and center at WrestleMania, your biggest event. That is the bottom line. And we can sit here and talk about how the bloodline is there. We can sit here and talk about how, yeah, but then what after about Roman and Cody? But honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, it matters to us. But it doesn't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, they just think this is the biggest matchup we've got and the rest will figure itself out. Now, Bloodline is stale. They would have solved this problem by having him drop it to Cody last year. I still don't necessarily understand why that didn't happen. The Bloodline story was hot until, you know, past Money in the Bank this year. That was great. And then we had the solo match between Jay and Roman. And then after that, it fell off a cliff, right? That's not particularly The Rock's fault. He can't. It's got nothing to do with him why that's all going wrong. But it still is an interesting beat to the story that when it comes to Roman's legacy, I think WWE would be more concerned with showing and adding than Cody Rhodes winning his world title now. Now, my only counter to that on my own point is I think Cody has to beat Roman for the title. Otherwise, it's not the story. Like, if he wins that belt off anyone else, then he still came up short against Roman the first time, and it is less than. right? So that is another problem. But I think he doesn't necessarily have to win it now. Yes, that's a problem to have him busy and interesting because you've already burnt through Brock. And I don't know, maybe it ends up being Punk if Seth can't go. We'll get to that later, I would imagine. But I still just don't see any good reason why you wouldn't do the biggest match that you've possibly got.
I mean, what about the idea of then, if the idea of doing the WrestleMania 10 thing, where you have night one, not WrestleMania 10 over two nights, basically, where you have, you know, Cody do a match with somebody on night one while Rock and Roman wrestle in the main event, and then Roman wins and Cody and Roman are on night two. Does that work?
Yeah, no, it would. I mean, all I would say is we all thought Cena was going to beat Rock the first time, didn't we? I know that's like 10 odd years ago now, but still. We all thought, oh, open and shut case, and then, you know, Rock wins. But that was Miami, I guess. With this, I would be fine with the two-night Mania. It probably a lot depends on CM Punk, right? That seems... it's heavily been hinted at that that's what he's back for, and that's what him and Seth would have got is the main event of one of the nights. You then start to play around with that. It becomes a little bit trickier. I don't think other than those, there are any obvious main event matches in the offing. So it's plausible. Is it ideal? That's another question. Are you one of these people that thinks Rock and Roman needs the title?
No. I don't. I don't think it needs a title, but obviously, you know, Roman's never fucking around, so we're not going to get a title change. And it's like, the thing is, I think the thing that really irks me, and I know this is verging into just being like, you know, man shouts at cloud territory, but I remember at the end of WrestleMania last year in the press conference, and they said, we're only at the third inning thing.
Yeah.
It was true for a point, because between WrestleMania and Money in the Bank, it was amazing.
It was great.
It was arguably better than it was amazing. It was, but the problem is when you do something so amazing, you have to kind of keep the level of it, and it peaked Money in the Bank at the beginning of July, and it's kind of never found its feet at that level since. And yeah, you're right in terms of course WWE are going to do it if Rock is willing to do it. And to be honest, if he does it, at least we don't need to worry about it anymore. Like, it's just going to happen and we can move on. But
yeah,
I would like it if Rock, because I know you always hear this stuff about Meltzer saying that he's always about breaking records and doing things and all that. It would be nice, though, if he went, do you know what? I've come back before as the part-time guy and taken the big match a bunch of times. This time, I'll do night one, Cody does night two, and then everybody's happy at the end. That would be my preference. Do I think they're going to do that? No, because I don't think Rock is going to come back to be a night one of night two guy. That just doesn't...
Yeah.
Do that.
I mean, I guess you could do it the other way around. Well, you couldn't really, could you? Because then Roman's less than by the time you get to Roman and Rock.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only thing I would say with Rock, I mean, obviously from a family perspective, you would hope he appreciates the business enough to be conscious enough to be giving and helpful, which every indicator in his career, you know, stretching back to putting over Hurricane, suggests that he might. But it's the exciting thing for me, actually, on the flip side, is the interaction with the rest of the Bloodline too, and the stories that can be told that spin off that. Now, the Jay and Jimmy, presumably they're going to face each other, right? We keep forgetting. Presumably that's where we're going to get to. They keep talking about it, and that is the way to tie in all of the Bloodline stuff. We're going to work our way back there. Then you got Solo. I don't know what he's going to do.
I would assume that Solo is going to give John Cena his loss back.
Probably, yeah.
The Jimmy thing is a good point to bring up, actually, because the Jimmy thing is actually the biggest Bloodline problem, because the Jimmy thing doesn't really make sense. Like, why did he go back to the Bloodline? That the explanation for that was quite poor. And I feel like...
I would say more than poor, that was. It was a gaping hole.
So, and I mean, Jay has kind of been able to thrive on Raw, but I mean, you know, Jay in the last few weeks, you know, there's so many people on Raw that he's kind of, you know, he's kind of going down the pecking order a little bit, because obviously Punk's come back, there's Cody, there's all these different people, but if they go with Jay and Jimmy, you hope that they're gonna, like, whatever it is they were doing creatively last year for the first 7 months of the year with the Bloodline, like, I don't know what the amalgamation of the people, but get that crew back, because that's the crew that can make all this tie together.
As you say, if you haven't got Roman there, then immediately you're at a disadvantage. It's very hard to tie anything together without him as the center, you know, center of it.
Because now you've not only not got Roman, you've got half the Usos. So
yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's worked out well for Jay in a way, but I would imagine, I can't imagine they're not facing each other at WrestleMania. So some way, somehow, that has to make its way back. And I imagine Rock versus Roman is almost the glue for that.
Yeah, and I would imagine we're going to get some interaction in the Rumble match next Saturday, with Jay and Jimmy. You would imagine to sort of kick that off.
Yeah. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do there. There is. But either way, I've wanted the match. I'm obviously the biggest Rock guy going, so I'm excited to see him back. And I just hope it lives up to what we've been telling ourselves it will for the past few years. I feel like most wrestling fans have kind of, you know, our expectations are what they are, right? Because we know Rock's old and all of this stuff. And obviously the second Cena match in particular. But there we go. We've had time. The story is there. I'm excited to see the story unfold. And I don't think there's a time limit on Cody. That's what I'm sticking with, Kenny.
Listen, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
He says, knowing that I'm not. Right. I'll tell you one thing I do want to touch on before we move along. We do have Carlito coming up, I should mention, for those of you that have stuck with us, an exclusive interview with Mr. Caribbean Cool himself.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know what's been quite cool the past couple of weeks, Kenneth? Drew McIntyre is hanging on the microphone. He is hanging. He had a great segment with CM Punk. He had a great segment with Cody, in the sense that, is Drew McIntyre a true microphone guy in the minds of many? I think Cody and CM Punk are. And I don't think Drew looked out of place at all.
I think he actually was better than Punk, which I never thought I'd say. So, I mean, I don't know if he's still not re-signed or Drew, but I mean,
as far as I'm aware, he hasn't.
But I mean, this has got to be, I mean, he is doing the best work he's ever done.
Yeah. Although, almost to prove a point, do you think?
Almost to prove a point. Yeah, almost. What I would do if I were him, and I've not spoken to him, this is not me saying any sort of insider knowledge or anything, but if I were him, and say his contract is up, like, before Mania, which I think it is, I'm sure it is. I would leave for like 3 months, 4 months, because what is he going to be able to do in WrestleMania that's going to make him like the top guy or a top guy? So I would leave. Don't go to AEW, but just kind of be out in the free market. Do like go to Impact and beat somebody up. Go to Japan and do something. Maybe do a little inside ropes tour with your old friend if you want. Talk to your pal at the Daily Mail as well. But like, do that stuff, and then by sort of mid-summer, go back. Because they'll take, obviously they'll want him back, they still want him, but he has to almost, if the whole thing is about money and him wanting to be paid like a top guy, then you're in this position where they can't really offer him anything for WrestleMania that will be him on top. So I think, yeah, if you settle, are you admitting that you're not what you say you are?
I honestly think a lot of it is Drew's, like, from a story perspective, like, he wants to be used well. I think that's it as well. Like, he wants to be, like, I don't think the money's so much of the issue. Like, I mean, when I had heard last, you know, this is going a few months back now, but it was just that they were apart on a few details. And I dare say it wasn't the financials. It's more to do with how he's used and his position. I think he's arrived as a top tier main event guy. But I could understand from his perspective, over the past year or so, pretty much since the Sheamus Volter stuff, has he really been able to sink his teeth into anything that was actually top of the card? I mean, that wasn't top of the card, but it was featured. He might feel like he has been let slip a little bit, but I agree that the point I was making to begin with, his work these last few weeks, he looks like a man trying to prove a point. I think he does belong in the upper echelon of WWE stars, and I hope he gets what he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm going to seem biased, but yeah, I mean, I think he was on top in arguably a very frustrating period because he finally got his spot, and then there was no fans, so that obviously wasn't great for him. And then he, by the time the fans came back, his moment had kind of went, and then he had the big match at Clash at the Castle we were at, and then, you know, he ended up at the end of the show singing with Tyson Fury. And he's been able to use all that with this character. So I think he's doing the best work of his career, and I can't imagine that they want him to go anywhere. So, you know, selfishly, do I want him to fuck off for 3 months so I can do a tour with him? Yes.
But yeah.
Realistically, what is he going to do that? No. But, you know, and then, you know, the Seth thing, I guess, kind of ties in a little bit, his injury from Raw.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I mean, Meltzer said this morning that he's not heard anything, and no news would tend to be good news in this scenario.
You would MRI think that, is not great news, though, is it? If you need an MRI, that's normally pretty bad.
But also, if the result of it is really bad, he would probably know that by now. You would imagine that WWE MRIs are not... It's not like I was going to the GP and go and keep an MRI in my leg and we'll see you in 3 weeks. You imagine they've got the hook on a better system. But I think he'll be fine. I'm assuming Punk and Rollins is going to headline one of the nights. I mean, can you imagine if Cody Roman headlines night two and The Rock fucks Punk out of a main event again? I mean,
yeah,
poetry. It'd be so funny. I think he would go mental, as he should. But I mean, is Punk and Seth something that you're into?
It is. not a but. I'm more interested in the two matches you just said, with both feature Roman. You know, if we're talking about what a main event will be, but then I could easily see a couple of weeks of TV with Punk and Rollins that would change my mind. Maybe we've started a bit too far out with the anticipation of that match. I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen it kick into gear yet, other than that first sort of promo. But I'm super excited for it. Like, it is a match that I do want to see, and I'm personally excited to see Punk work a bunch of guys, you know, providing he sticks around, which he seems pretty happy to do so right now. So there's no reason to not be excited. It's just, you know, how we're gonna get there, really. Presumably, and I was going to ask you this in a minute, presumably Punk will win the Rumble. That is the easiest route to Rollins, unless Cody was to win it and get to Roman, and then we'd really be having a conversation. But you know, I wanted to get your winners for the Rumble in quickly. I mean, I'll make my women's pick after you make yours, but I have to imagine that there are times where what seems the simplest and logical option is the best option. And that's how I feel about CM Punk winning.
Yeah, I would imagine that CM Punk is the winner of the Rumble. I think the only thing that's kind of... The only thing that I can't quite see how we're going to get to Rock and Roman is, I assume there'll be an Elimination Chamber match in Perth.
Yeah, and which won't feature Roman, obviously.
Which won't feature Roman, it definitely won't feature The Rock. So then you've got... Like, because, I mean, Meltzer actually made a really funny point, which I hadn't thought of. He was like, The Rock's not facing Roman Reigns at a show that starts at 4 a.m. in Australia.
No, he's
and
not.
It's a very good point. So, I mean, I assume that Punk wins the Rumble and Cody then wins the Chamber, or the other way around, but I don't know what you do if Rock's around. I don't know. I'm kind of struggling how you get from A to B on that. But in terms of the women's Rumble, it feels like Becky. Is it not Becky, and does, like, do they throw a spanner and have, like, Nia win the Rumble, make you think she's going to pick Rhea, but then she picks Io? And then Becky does the Chamber, and that's how she gets to Rhea.
Yeah, I mean, this is the funny thing with the Rumble, that we base a lot of our picks off, okay, well, what's the match at Mania, right? Yeah. And for a while, we've all thought it is Becky Rhea. The teasers have certainly been there, where they've had these small interactions on Raw, and they've very specifically been kept apart on Raw physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Becky's been kept busy with Nia at the moment, and, you know, Rhea in Judgment Day business. I think that's all very deliberate so that they do end up together. Does Becky need to win the Rumble to get there? That's another question. Is Io going to be the champion by WrestleMania, and therefore who should we look at to win the Rumble to face her? Most people would be making the case for Bayley, right? Saying she's going to, you know, getting ostracized in the group, and Damage Control will chuck her out, and her babyface run will then see her take on Io, win, get her big Mania moment that, to be honest, Bayley's been robbed of for several years now with injury and this ridiculous hosting gig. I think there is a solid point to be made for that. Like, Bayley or Becky would be the ideal two. Because otherwise, who is the obvious choice to face Io at WrestleMania? I struggle.
Yeah, I mean, Bayley's a good shout as well. Because, I mean, Bayley's in this weird spot where she's just kind of almost felt like one step away from properly doing a thing. And this would be... You know, because then if Bayley wins, you could do that thing where they all assume she's going to pick Rhea Ripley, and you somehow get to a point where, I mean, you could, not saying you would reenact this, but you could have something where, like, they're all bitching about Bayley and saying how stupid she is, and she's behind the door, like Batista with Triple H, you know, and then when she goes out to pick who she's going to face, she picks Io instead of Rhea. So there's ways to do that. Because, like, the Becky stuff that they're doing is pretty interesting about, you know, her...
Like,
not believing in herself and stuff, so
yeah.
I think that's good. But yeah, there's many ways they can go. So
I like it, but maybe, like, Bayley learns Japanese, right?
Oh yeah. Or she just needs to learn a phrase, right? Like a phrase she can say.
This is what I mean. And maybe she hears them talking. They think she doesn't know. She knows. Mm-hmm. She knows.
We should come back the week after Rumble. Like, I want to put it in the ether that we, like, come back the week after Rumble, so that we're not, you know, another 2 months.
That is a good day, a good setup. Let me make this quick case.
Yes.
I think Jade Cargill debuts in the Rumble.
Ooh.
And I think she has a magnificent showing. I don't think they'll have her win it, but I would have her win it.
Right.
I can tell the pessimism in your voice already.
I'm intrigued.
I think when you look at Jade Cargill and when you see her in a presentation, she's basically the female superhero that WWE would love to present. And I think she should be. Now, whatever you think of her wrestling ability, and she has some that we saw in AEW, I think she should be pushed Brock Lesnar-esque. Incredible debut year. She should be an immediate dominant force. None of this climbing to the top. Present her as you want them to see her immediately. I am a massive believer in the way Jade Cargill carries herself, the belief and everything about that. I think she carries herself and acts like a star. Really, in WWE's thought process, how she is in the ring comes last. But she's far from bad in the ring. Let me make that clear. A lot of the detractors down the years have said that, you know, how shoddy she is or not ready. And, you know, I know Triple H has said about her getting ready and all of this stuff, but I'm a firm believer that she is to be pushed as a mega deal and star immediately, basically. Now, how you pair that together after that, I think, you know, Bianca Belair is an obvious matchup, but she probably won't have a title. Well, she might do if she got EOs. EO and Jade is probably less attractive. Rhea and Jade is pretty attractive. But then Becky's, you know, the obvious one there too. And then obviously you've got the four horsewomen, and we'll dive into that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there is a case to be made if you wanted to make an instant impact on a debut, fairly unprecedented. It could happen. It would be a good idea, in my opinion. I don't think they'll do it, but I'm just saying it's a good idea.
I definitely want to see her. I think my idea that I would probably go with over years personally is I would have her have a great show at the Rumble, and then I would have her character, because she can't really have long matches and she can't really do regular matches yet, we assume, unless somehow she's, you know, picked up like fucking Carl Gotch or something in the last 8 weeks. But I would have her have a great performance in the Rumble and have her character kind of be like, I'm not going to wrestle in front of small crowds or small shows. I only wrestle in the big shows. And then have her win Money in the Bank in Toronto. And because then she's got the full year to sort of build and build and build. Because I think the problem with the Rumble is that it's so definite of it's WrestleMania. It's 10 weeks or whatever it is.
So you're saying that she like dominates in the Rumble and then she doesn't wrestle again until Money in the Bank. Gets that, and then doesn't wrestle again until she cashes in. I know I sound like I'm disparaging the idea. I actually quite like it.
Or maybe she turns up in March and like you have someone where like Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce are fighting over, and she goes, "Right, I'll make you a deal. Who can book me a singles match in WrestleMania with any star I want?" And then she gets to choose, and then like have her choose like Tamina or something, and she beats her in like 10 seconds. Like full hog and have her be like, see, I'm that bitch, I won in 10 seconds on WrestleMania, like easy. And you know, you can, I mean, have her on TV, I'm not saying don't have her around, but like, and she could then wrestle on house shows and you just don't talk about it, you don't mention that she wrestles on those shows if need be. But I think if you're going to go for it with her, like play up her strengths, that she, you know, she's, I mean, because she's got so much star power in her.
Oozes star power.
Yeah, I love her. I couldn't care less if she can wrestle well, but
I think me and you have well established what we think is important.
Yeah, I mean, listen, from who you want to main event WrestleMania, you clearly don't care about how good somebody is at wrestling.
Fuck you, Rock is a huge.
He had his last match 11 years ago.
In his prime, Kenny is now not granted.
And I will say about Rock and Roman, and they won't do this because it's a good idea. But if I'm there is this mindset in wrestling, it tends to happen, and it tends to happen more as guys get older that they want to prove they can have longer matches. It's a false prophecy. Like Rock and Roman should be like 15 minutes tops.
I bet you anything, it's a no DQ match. Bet you anything.
Oh yeah, there has to be shortcuts. But like, if they, I mean, they do not need to go 30 minutes because Rock.
They will.
They will. I just don't think they need to.
No, I agree.
It's like, imagine you play football, right? In your spare time, you play football and stuff.
Yep.
Like, imagine you stop playing football for 11 years, and then all of a sudden it's like, on you go, do a match.
90 minutes in the World Cup final, basically.
Yeah,
that's what it would be.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll no doubt be talking and debating and ranting about this for months to come.
No doubt about it. Well, you've heard it here first. We will be back the week after the Royal Rumble, which is 2 weeks' time, for those of you that are keeping score. Until then, Kenny, is there anything you want to inform the fine people about before they depart? Because some Stratisfaction is UK-bound.
Yes, we've got shows coming up in Glasgow and London with Sergeant Slaughter on the 29th of February and the 1st of March, and then Trish Stratus on March 4th and March 5th. You can go to itrtix.com to get your tickets. I've always wanted to do shows with Sergeant Slaughter because I always loved him as a wee guy, so I'm excited to do those. And then Trish Stratus, I really look forward to doing these shows. I intend to tell her I'm gay so quickly so that she's comfortable with me and doesn't think I'm some sort of perv who wanked over her when I was a kid. So, I intend
What?
to become best friends.
I feel like you were calling me out then, Kenny.
No, not at all, not at all.
I felt that was very direct.
I had a poster of Sable because I thought she was fabulous. That's where my that's the poster I had. But
I adored Trish as a kid, and I still do. I am going to come to the London show, and yeah, again, I'm just going to be as least creepy as I possibly can.
the thing is,
I'll try.
you're not a creepy guy. Like you're very personable to people that when they meet you, like you don't come across in that way. So you're fine. Some other people do come across that way, but I'm not going to name names on this podcast.
Not today, not today.
Not today.
Oh, by the way, I loved how my satisfaction line was a segue for Sergeant Slaughter first. That was
I did want to do that deliberately. It's like I'm going to
yeah.
go first. But you know, they're coming up. Support us in all the various ways. Magazine, InsideRopesMagazine.com, Paraslam Yearbook. They're out now, going fast. Paraslammagazine.com. Yeah, there's all the stuff, and then the YouTube channel, which obviously you can check out loads of stuff that we've done over there. There's a lot of good stuff coming up that Mr. McCarthy is going to be doing,
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I'm not going to give any of that away. That's his sword to die on if it doesn't happen.
Oh,
But
there's a lot of air miles to be had, let's say that. And there are going to be a lot of interviews that coming up that will be on the channel, of course. It's always a healthy blend of Kenny's live shows and my activities in the wrestling world. So, yes,
And you
please
know what,
do make.
you got a feel for Alex, who, 'cause the thing, Alex always gets the big guns, right? I don't get the big guns. I get given the medium guns, right? But there was that irony where Alex you kill him with this. So Alex is about to talk to LA Knight and he gets 2 minutes out of it before a scheduling conflict happens and it has to stop. And then the next day I get 20 minutes with LA Knight. It's like for once I was on the higher pedestal. I'm never on the higher pedestal. So it was
Justice for
lovely.
Kenny.
Justice for Kenny. It happened one day. I'm
He
gonna
says this, guys.
use it
You
for
don't want to. You don't want to see Kenny's phone book, right? I will,
that.
guys. 2 weeks, no, a week after the Rumble, Kenny and I will be there to talk you through all the happenings, so that we can now plot the road to WrestleMania. Remember, stay tuned for all of the developments we were just alluding to very secretly, and there's a lot to come on all of those platforms. Until then, why don't you enjoy some of my chat with Carlito?
Carlito, how are you, my man?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good, man. Very good. I've got a palm tree in the background in England. Can you imagine?
See, yeah. I see.
You are somebody that I've been super keen to talk to since you came to the company, just because it was such a long time coming, man. Like, people seem to be calling for it forever. Like, what was it about this timing that was like, okay, now is the right time? LWO, this story, is it all kind of one thing, or did one thing lead to another? Talk me through it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a one thing just led to another. You know what I mean? Was it 13 years to get back? It was a long process, but I think, you know, everything happens at the right time, I think, sometimes. And I think, like you said, everything, there's different parts, you know, first Bad Bunny, then Puerto Rico, the Rumble before that, and then LWO, and then just everything kind of just meshed together and just worked out perfectly.
Did that Rumble taster really make you think, yeah, okay, this is what I need to be working towards now, or was that just an individual thing? Because obviously the reaction to that was really what maybe got the ball rolling in many eyes.
I think that was the reaction. Unfortunately, it was during COVID, so there was no audience there. So that was a little different. It was weird coming out to just a bunch of screens in the background. But you know, but seeing those, excuse me, why do we stop this? Hold on a second. I don't even know why I have that on. Just you know, just by just seeing the reaction after online. You know, it wasn't at first. You know what I mean? It was just seeing after online the you know generally positive comments was that when I kind of started thinking, okay, maybe yeah, this is.
Sorry, I just cut out a little bit for a second there. My apologies. Once you start having chats about coming back with Triple H, like, is the LWO idea floated early doors? Is it something that just the timing came right? Because again, you mentioned it earlier with the Puerto Rico show, that did all line up pretty perfectly.
No, not necessarily the LWO thing. I think that was just the opening at the time once I was back. But again, the things we talked about was just the overall feeling of wanting to come back, that I have the desire to come back. I think there's stuff I could still do, and what exactly I wanted to do in what capacity. And I just told them I was ready to come back full time and do as much as I can. I've got very few years left, so I want to take advantage of the years that I have left in this business.
And when you say about things that you want to do, what is it that gets the appetite of Carlito going at this stage, man? Like, is there, do you feel like there's unfinished business from the first run, or are you in a completely different space?
I think, yeah, I'm in a completely different space now. I know that I'm older now. I know I'm, not what I used to be, but I know I still have a lot to give. There's still a lot in the tank. And as I guess my goals now is just like, just to mix it up with the younger guys and just help out the next generation of wrestlers and make the business as best that I can, putting my little input on it.
And I mean, that must have been something you can do, A, alongside Rey Mysterio, which is always cool in any CV, right? To be like, I've worked with Rey, but also in the LWO, and you got Santos Escobar, who's been killing it and doing his thing. And obviously, the other guys in the tag team and Zelina as well, which is always killer. I guess that was the perfect environment then to rub some of your stardust on it.
I think so, yeah. And that's kind of my goal too, is to elevate the other guys. Because, we all know who Rey Mysterio is. And Escobar seems to be on a path, going up. So I just, any other members that come in, the new guys, that's what I want to do, is I want to elevate them and make them just as big as any other part of LWO.
One thing I always wanted to ask you was, you remember that Raw back in the 2000s when you're leaving with Torrie Wilson and Ric Flair lights you up, right? And I remember I asked Rick about that once, and he was saying that Vince McMahon had just grilled him, basically. And he was right, that's it. I'm going to take it. You were wrong place, wrong time, almost. What was your memories of like that segment at the time? Because obviously, you probably weren't clued into what was going to happen or exactly what Rick was going to say beforehand. Was you like taken aback, and like how did that affect things moving forward?
I don't know. I didn't see the big deal about it until, I guess, after. I mean, people talking about it after. I think it was probably before internet was big. I'm assuming we went way back in the day. The internet wasn't that big, so there wasn't, you couldn't see stuff online later on. But to me, I don't know, it was just another day at the office. I enjoyed the segment, I mean, I didn't take it as serious as other people took it, And, like I've seen Rick when I was a little kid working for my dad's promotion. And I don't, I've always seen Ric Flair hyped up, So I don't know how much higher he could get that could, put me in some kind of shock watching Ric Flair do his thing.
Yeah, you'd be surprised if it was the other way around.
Yeah,
but exactly. One of the other things I was going to ask you about the early career, talk to me about how the creative discussion happens that your bodyguard is going to stab John Cena. Because I don't think they would do that today, Carlito, to be honest, but it was cool at the time.
Yeah, well, a lot of the things I did, I look, on Instagram, a lot of stuff pops up, and a lot of things I did back in the day wouldn't fly nowadays. So, yeah, it was a different time for sure.
Can you remember whose idea was it? Was you just like, yeah, sure, why not?
I was just coming in, but I would have taken any idea. I said, give me whatever ideas you got, and I'll make it work. So, yeah, I was, whatever they could have told me to do whatever, and I would have done it, but I would have, tried to make it as best I could.
One thing, always listening to Bruce Pritchard as well, I know he's been a big fan of you and obviously like loves your family and stuff like that. Obviously, like, kind of new regime now in a way, but Bruce is still around and stuff like that. Is he one of your sort of sounding boards backstage and a welcome face when you returned?
Definitely. He's actually one of the guys responsible for getting me hired. He went to Puerto Rico and to scope out talent. And the way the story goes is Mr. Perfect, I guess, had worked with me down in Puerto Rico. And he mentioned me to Bruce, and then Bruce came, saw my stuff, and then he recommended me to WWE.
Oh, wow, that's very cool. And then I guess this time around, you didn't need that introduction. Like, Triple H was on the phone.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Joel said it at the top of this chat, there's a lot on the WWE calendar this year, where you've got massive pay-per-views all over. Like, I'm really looking forward to having you guys all over Europe, man. There's a lot of shows coming for us that we can get excited about. Australia coming up as well, Elimination Chamber. What's really kind of making you excited about this year in WWE? Not to mention, of course, WrestleMania coming back around.
I think everything. I think, I think by the time I was leaving, the last time people were talking about that, wrestling wasn't as good as it was starting to get stale. And I think like these past couple of years, it's kind of a resurgence again where, you know, WWE is the hot thing again. I think wrestling's having a resurgence. And I think, you know, now's the greatest time of all to be in wrestling. And I think, you know, I think WWE from this point on is going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the cool thing, right? Obviously, WrestleMania this year, Philadelphia, 40. And, you know, hearing some big names like, you know, The Rock and CM Punk and people like that being bandied around. What would you love to do at WrestleMania? Because I know that there's lots of accolades and championships people could win, but is there something close to your heart or somebody you'd love to work with that, you know, would really mean more to you?
I think just being on the show would mean a lot to me. After all these years being gone, you know what I mean, just to be a part of WrestleMania, you know, just get my, you know, dip my toes back in it. I mean, that's, for me, that'd be a big thing. You know, just being on the show and doing something, you know, to, and hopefully be entertained to the crowd.
Yeah, and speaking of all these international shows, man, is Puerto Rico going to get another go around? What's the deal?
I mean, I hope so. They deserve it after that last pay-per-view. I mean, they showed that they're the craziest fans out there. And I think yeah, there's a lot of big things coming from Puerto Rico. But also, you know, I'd like to see, you know, WWE go, you know, different places. Like they go in Australia. I think there's many other countries that we need to visit and do big things in. Because, you know, it's World Wrestling Entertainment. So let's go out there and entertain the world.
Yeah, but you must want a match in front of that hot Puerto Rico crowd. You must do.
Oh, of course. Of course. No doubt. You know, that's my favorite place to wrestle, probably.
You know, we were just talking about some of the big names that have come back. You know, you will have known some CM Punk back in the day and getting to know him again now. Have you seen him since he's returned? I know he's only been on SmackDown the once or twice, but have you had a chance to catch up?
Yeah, the one time that he was on SmackDown, we were both there and we were able to catch up. And, you know, it's like no time had gone by. You know what I mean? We weren't the best of friends, but we were, you know, we were very cordial and always respectful of each other.
And I might as well bring up The Rock too, who's obviously made a couple of SmackDown appearances. I don't know if you cross paths either, but both of you, I assume, you know, you've got incredible family legacies. I mean, that's something to bond over.
Yeah, I haven't crossed paths with the Rock just yet. Maybe at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I won't keep you too much longer, Cully, but I do want to talk about a couple of things. One being your tag team back in the day with Chris Masters. You looked like you was having a lot of fun during that time in your career. I thought it ended too soon, personally, but that's just me, my man. What do you make of working with him then? And for me, he's another guy that I would like to see him back in the WWE ring, personally.
I would too. I think I think if we tied together, we could still do something. I agree with you. I think they broke us up way too early. There was a lot of there was a fun dynamic between us, and I think there's a lot of memorable segments that we could have done and matches. And I hope, I would love to see him in a WWE ring again.
So just to finish here, then, looking at Royal Rumble, looking at WrestleMania and stuff, what would the fans who are excited to see Carlito wrestle for so long, been waiting for him to come back, just give us an idea of what they can expect from you on those shows?
On those shows, man, just to give you the best of what I got. And, you know, at the end of the day, probably someone's going to get an apple in their face. That's always my intention.
Stay out of Carlito's radius when he's got an apple. That's all. Well, I appreciate you a lot, my man. Delighted to see you back. And obviously, can't wait to see you come over to Europe and enjoy some shows over here as well. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully, I'll catch you soon.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.